morning, everybody. Welcome to another Vines Online. 21st of June is what we're actually working towards for the Sunday. Well, as you know, I'm actually doing this on a Thursday. Hey, look, I hope you're well. And again, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome to you the next 30 minutes-ish as we say some prayers, we sing some songs, we reflect on the theme, which really, as you can see behind me, is our anchor series. Now, if you're wondering what I've drawn this time, you might have to zoom in, but we've got those special faith links that connect us to the anchor, which is God and the love of God. And so you might be able to zoom in and have a look. Again, part of what we're trying to do is to continue to grow our faith in this really stormy time of life. COVID-19 is upon us. Well, worship is often, for me, a time when we reset. And I normally would call Sundays Reset Sunday, but because you're probably watching this on a Monday or a Sunday afternoon or a Tuesday or whenever, it probably doesn't make much sense saying a Sunday reset. But the idea is we have the opportunity to start afresh, to bring all the stuff of our week to today and to let it go. So what sort of stuff do you need to let go today? Have you had a really tough week? Has it just been a frustrating week? Is it a bit of a same-o week? What is it you need to let go? Our theme, as I said, is the anchor. Now, part of what we're trying to do is build up around the imagery of ship, faith links, and anchor. So the ship, you know, we are the ship. And our lives are tossed around in the storms of life. Our faith links, they're the things that emerge from our faith and experience and blending them together. And they're the things that connect us to Jesus, our anchor. And the anchor is God's love, whatever it is, that grace, that connection for you. And today is a chance to reset. So let me invite a prayer as we continue in our worship time together. In the midst of uncertainty, you call us to follow. In the midst of anxiety, you call us to trust. In the midst of fear, you walk beside us. Lord, as we traverse the uncertain oceans of 2020, we ask that your faith would continue to connect in us, your love, your grace, your peace, enabling us to grow, to trust as we wrestle with life as we know it now. Continue to stir us through songs and words and conversations from those around us, from TV, radio, books. Continue to enliven us to think of others and reach out in whatever way we can. And as these next few months unfold, we pray for the peace and patience required to deal with change. Remind us constantly of your unfailing love and presence, because we know in the midst of uncertainty, you call us to follow. In the midst of anxiety, you call us to trust. In the midst of fear, you walk beside us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our band is going to lead us in Beautiful Savior.
Beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor.
What a beautiful song that is, hence the title. But I really love the words and the invitation to faith. Let me read to you our reading from Matthew chapter 14. It's the same one we used last week. But again, it's a significant story of Jesus and the disciples. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, where he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking to them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered them, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, again, every Sunday we spend some time with the children in our Zoom chat, and it's really challenging at times to help children, as well as adults, understand what it is we're talking about. So today is no exception. And I asked them to think about what it means for us to ask for help. And we'll join the Zoom chat as we explore this question.
What do you think? What does help mean?
It means like your help, like you're giving someone what they need. Like,
yep.
So if they need some help to get up, then you can help them by lifting them up.
Yeah, okay, so it's help can be a very practical thing. And so if I say, help me, that means that I need some assistance. And yeah, Dave, what are you thinking?
Help means to make it easier or possible for somebody to do something by doing something for them or by giving them something that they need.
Wow. You got a bit of a dictionary definition there, Dave. Well done.
Good job, good buddy. Research. Well, so when someone comes to help you, what do you do? Do you run away in fear? What do you have to do when someone comes to help you? So you say, "Help me, help me, help me," and then I come along and I go to help you. Do you go, or do you go, what do we have to do when someone comes to offer us help?
Again, it's trying to figure out what are the implications for when we ask for help, listening and accepting it. Similarly, when we talked about trust, David came up with a great idea, and he helped us out with this.
Hey, David's going to give us a definition. All right, David.
The belief that somebody is good, sincere, honest, and will not try to harm or deceive you.
So that's what trust means. So when we're talking about trusting in God or believing in God or trusting in Jesus, then we're believing they're not going to harm us.
Finally, the question is, what does it feel like to have someone help us?
What does it feel like having Gabby help you, David?
I'm not sure. It can feel annoying.
Sabella, what did it feel like having someone help you make your anchor and change today?
I felt really good. Because if no one helped me, it would take forever to make.
Yes. Yes. So sometimes having people help us. Yeah, Sam, what did it feel like to have somebody help you today?
Well, it felt very helpful. And I also was going to say that God does have love. So that's why I put a love heart on here. It was made at school, and that's what I could see in love.
Oh, that's so true.
Thank you for that.
God loves us so much. That's why he wants to help us.
Yeah, so he anchors us with love.
So again, thanks for the kids for that collection and reflection as we continue in our time together. Let me share with you some notices. Now, as we know, we live in a two-speed economy, really. There are people who have continued to work through this entire pandemic. There are others who have been forced because they're in tourism or service or whatever industry have been shut down by the government. And so there's really people who have been flat out and those who have really been underworking. And there's a lot of grief and I guess a lot of different tension within our society. And when we look at the world, we're almost like a two-speed world as well, because in Australia, compared to Britain or to the US or to Spain or even India, you know, how we're experiencing COVID-19 is very different. And so it's a strange world we're living in. And at this time, we all have different experiences and different emotions that stir us. And so we continue to try and make our way through this as the vines, and the leadership team continues to meet to try and gauge, you know, what the government is saying, what the government of South Australia is saying, and what the synod is saying as well. So we'll try to keep up to beat and on top of this as best we can. There's a few more updates you'll notice in your grapevine as well about finances and the strawberry farm. But I particularly wanted to also note and give a big thank you shout out to Chris DeCoe, who's been a pastoral care worker. And as you know, in recent weeks, she's decided to no longer continue in that role. And we really want to thank her for her heart and her passion. At the leaders' meeting on Friday, we gave her a big bunch of flowers. So if you were there, you would have seen the big smile she had. But anyway, again, thank you for your work. And as we continue in our worship and serving God in this strange time. All right, let me share with you a prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our lives, and as we reflect on this unusual, strange, unpredictable season of our lives in 2020, we ask that your faith would continue to connect with us as we explore what it means to be your people in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Anchor Series, we're up to number 3, and I've entitled this one, Get Out of the Boat. Although you'll notice behind me, the key word is trust. So I was talking to a friend who was telling me a story about their friend. So it's one of those friend of a friend stories. And this woman was saying how her friend, had a lot of health issues. And this person was really struggling and had overcome some really big traumas and still was really immune compromised. And so the decision was made by this person to actually take a boat cruise, because whatever goes wrong on a boat cruise, as a way of relaxing and just enjoying a time on the waters. The boat left, I think, in February this year, and it was going from Sydney to Brisbane, and then it was going to spend 3 weeks out touring New Zealand and the ditch. So anyway, she jumped on at Sydney, and by the time she spent a couple of days getting up to Brisbane, had decided she hated sailing on the ship. So she got off. And then, as I'm not sure whether she lost her money, she got a refund, but whatever the case, she decided, right, that's it, I'm off this boat, that's it. So she jumped in her car or traveled back home. And about 3 weeks later, she was watching the news and was watching this boat get stuck out at sea in Sydney Harbour, or the ship. And she looked at it and thought, actually, that was the boat I was on. So the Ruby Princess was something that really had a lot of drama with her. And fortunately for her, she managed to get off early. And so the reason I tell that story is because it's a ship theme story and we're talking about ships. But the belief that somehow ships are all safe and easy is not necessarily true. And probably none of us will ever look at ships and cruising again in the same way. Certainly, if I ever get on a ship again, I'll be going for the window. All right. So Jesus sends his disciples off so he can disperse the crowd, and they jump in a ship, a boat, I should say, and start sailing across the lake. Now, part of the drama turns out that a great storm blows in, and while Jesus goes off and does some praying and reflecting, the disciples are stuck in this little boat in the middle of a storm, getting tossed about. Now, we're told that it was early evening when they went into the boat, and it wasn't until early morning that Jesus came to them. Now, maybe Jesus took a while to find them. I don't know. Maybe Jesus was heavily immersed in prayer. I don't know. But we're told that Jesus found them by walking on the water. Now, I'm not sure if Jesus walked up the waves and down the waves. I'm not sure if Jesus surfed down the waves. I'm not sure if Jesus did a Moses and parted the water and just simply walked through. But the account says that Jesus found these disciples, and this is where we pick up the account again. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it's I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. So what do we make of that experience? Well, it's certainly a miracle. And the disciples would have celebrated being found, although some of the die-hard sailors in the boat would have probably said, "Ah, look, it'll pass." But the second part of the whole story is just looking at the invitation to trust that Peter is elicited to do. You know, like Jesus says, "Come." And so he does. I'm not sure. Could you imagine that, eh? So they're in the boat. The boat's getting tossed. If you see the little man behind me walking on the water. But Jesus says, "Come." And you could almost imagine Peter grasping the side of the boat and puts his foot out, and it's like he steps on the sea. Confidence is generated when his foot holds him up. And he then steps onto the O. It's that oscillating between trust and fear as his other foot holds firm above the waves, and he rises up and down with the fall of the ocean or the water. And the disciples in the boat are all screaming in fear, anxiety, laughing, crying, I don't know, throwing up, who knows. As Peter then steps onto the M, the mystery of walking on the water is just unbelievable. It's like Jesus and all the mystery that surrounds him. Is he the Messiah? how could God be made real through this man? And what does it all mean? And as he steps onto the E, the emotions start driving the bus, and Peter looks around and thinks, what am I doing? This is the ocean. There are fish down here. I can see them. I'm going to sink. And the fear sets in and he begins to plummet. He no longer looks at Jesus, but as he looks at his fears, he sinks. What a dramatic story. And it often a bit like parachuting. I mean, who seriously steps out of a perfectly good boat to step into the water, to step into the unknown? You know, before Peter could experience that faith connection, and it would have been a significant experience for him. And again, a bit like I mentioned last week, you know, maybe that experience of trusting Jesus made all the difference when he came to that point of hearing the rooster crow three times to remind him of his betrayal of Jesus. Maybe this anchor link, maybe this faith link helped anchor Peter to that love of God that said he was worthwhile despite his failings. It's a powerful story. Before Peter experienced this faith, this hope, this love, this trust, he had to step out of the boat. He had to get out of the boat. He had to step into the unknown. And that's really what the story of faith is like, isn't it? I mean, we step from the secure and known into the unknown, to the mystery, to the change. I mean, this year we've had the storms of change around us. We've been swamped, pushed around. You know, decisions have been made by the Australian government, the state government, by the church leaders, which have impacted all of you. You know, people's jobs, who gets the funding, who doesn't? What businesses shut down, what businesses don't? How many we can have? Well, how many people can attend a funeral? How many people can attend a wedding? But they can get married or not. I mean, all these massive things that have impacted on how we do business. And we've all had to step out into the unknown this year. And normally there's two reasons people have to change. Because they want to or they have to. And this year, most of us have had to. What does it imply to us? It's a really interesting story, the Peter and Jesus and Peter getting out of the boat. And I love the metaphor of, well, what was that boat like? I mean, what is the boat like for us as a metaphor? And I think, you know, if we had to talk about the church at the Vines, for many of you and for us, for myself, the church boat has been the security and safety has been that we often do the same things we've always done, that we have been secure in, just pretty much having the same week in, week out, typified by a Sunday worship. Always meeting on a Sunday for worship has been a defining point of our safety and security as the boat at the Vines. Now, if someone had told you last year that you would actually stop meeting on a Sunday and that you'd be doing all your worship online and that your pastoral care, you would be ringing people to follow up and find out how they're doing. And I mean, would you seriously believe it? I mean, no, seriously. If someone had said last year, you're going to do church online, you're not even going to go to the church building for 3 months, 4 months, 8 months, 10 months, would you believe that? You have to say no. And I think most people would have fought tooth and nail if I'd said one Sunday, right, people, this, for the next 6 months, we're not going to have church at the Vines, we're going to do it online. Man, I would have had to run out of that building so fast. But your graciousness would have prevailed, I'm sure. But just imagine, that's insane. And here I am talking to you, and you're listening to me, and I'm in my study. I've got my UGG boots on. Well, I can't quite see that. but I'm fully dressed. Look at my uglies. You're listening to me in your pajamas, in whatever room you are, whatever day you are, eating whatever food you are, because you can. Worship has changed. We are doing something completely different. If someone says to you, you can't change, someone says to the Vines Church, you can't change, well, the answer to that question is 2020. We have done so many changes, it's unfathomable. It's amazing. It's stupendous. So I really want you to pause for a moment and celebrate that. Really. Celebrate the amount of change you've done this year. Seriously. How many things have you had to give up and change your routine and behavior with? So many things. In fact, I could call you a radical. You could be a part of the early adapters. You know, not the 20% who resist. You're actually part of the 20% early adapters. Adopters. You, along with Peter, have got out of the boat. What does that feel like? Woohoo! Wow! Sensational. Question is, well, where do we go from here? You know, I think, I find it really ironic that as human beings, our middle name really should be Change. It should be David Change Pryor, not David James Pryor. It should be, you know, whatever your middle name is, should be changed to Change. Why? Because life is unpredictable and it's full of change. We all change. Every year changes. We look in the mirror, we change. You know, it just happens. When I first started in the United Church as a minister, all the placements were called settlements. So we would go to a settlement, you know, and someone decided, you know what, that sounds a little bit too comfortable. You know, it's almost a settlement sounds like it's something you would snuggle down into, you know, the blankie, recliner chair, you know, the heat on. Woohoo! Beautiful. So they changed it to placements, something a bit more bland. I'm thinking maybe it should be deployments. We are, you know, I've got an operational deployment to the Vines United Church. Well, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Really what it's trying to say is, hey, this is a dynamic thing we've embraced ourselves with. Faith is a dynamic. It is not something that we embrace once and then just cruise and coast along. We're not part of this world. We're called to be different. Jesus came to Peter and commanded him, come, get out of the boat. Jesus then said to the disciples, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus never really stopped calling the disciples to do more. We're the same. We never get to the point where we can retire as a Christian. It just doesn't happen. Because the way in which life works is we are called onwards. Our faith and experiences continue to need to mesh together. That is how we form our faith links. Those chains that connect the anchor to the boat, which is us, our lives, are formed through those faith links. And this year would be wasted if all we ever said for the rest of our lives is when someone said, hey, can you change? And all you said would say is, yes, 2020, that's a great example of how I can change. Or if the church, someone said about, can the Vines change? And all we said was, well, yes, 2020. You know, this year is wasted if we don't experience and learn from it, if we don't understand what this means to our faith. Those experiences need to be meshed with how we understand life and the call of God on our lives as individuals in a community. So I thought I would actually ask you some questions. You should have this copy in the grape as well. Making experiences into faith links. So how do we make the experiences of this year into faith links that link our anchor with our lives, which, you know, our boats, which is who we are. How has the bushfire, COVID-19 year, changed your understanding of the church? What are you enjoying? What are you missing? Are there elements that you want to keep having as part of church? Has this time crystallized any truths to you about life, about relationships, and what you believe? What has been the most surprising aspect of this experience? What has surprised you? Have you reacted better or worse, or have some things been harder or easier? Have you felt closer or further away from God during this time? Have your emotions been driving you to places you really didn't expect to go? Are you different because of this experience? Is your relationship different? How can this year be a faith link, something that into the future holds you firmer in life because of it? We know that we have to keep getting out of the boat. This is not the end of the change. In fact, this is a wonderful opportunity to continue to reinvent and reinvigorate who we are as individuals, as Christians, and the Vines Church. Let's not waste this opportunity. We as the church have to keep getting out of the boat. We have been called, we have been commanded to be the life and salt in this world. Let me pause for a prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, well, there's lots of things we've been talking about. And if we're feeling a bit seasick and nauseous, well, there's a lot of invitations you've given us and a lot of commands that remain. We ask that as we reflect on this message, that you would give us a new insight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the next song the band is going to play is actually written by a sailor, someone who sailed the seas. And ironically, during our Black Lives Matters, he was a slaver. And so he would go to Africa and capture Africans and sell them into slavery. And somehow he had a conversion experience. And he was called to get out of the boat and become a reformer. And this next song is written by him. And it's a song that has great power. Thank you, Dave and Ben.
We're going to sing the great old hymn, Amazing Grace, penned, as you know, by John Newton. And if ever there was a man who understood God's grace, it was John Newton, along with St. Paul. And I think it's important for us to be constantly reminded, regularly reminded, even daily reminded of God's grace. God's grace is God's grace is God's grace. Always with us, always guiding us, always leading us, and will ultimately lead us home to where we belong with Jesus Christ. So let's sing together again, Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but
Amazing grace. When we look at those words and reflect on the depth of those words, can we ever become complacent about our faith and what we're called to be and do? The answer is no, really, isn't it? Hey, look, thanks for joining me and online. And I really hope you're enjoying this season as best you can. And I know that there's lots of different challenges. And our motto is phone a friend and choose life. Now, what I mean by phone a friend is, you know, is there someone you actually haven't seen for a while? Maybe you used to sit next to, or somebody they haven't seen for 2 or 3 months. Well, phone them. This is the whole idea of phone a friend is not wait for me to phone a friend, but you phone a friend. You become a part of our pastoral care support network. Choose life. Because we can't catch the virus over the phone, but we can pass on God's love. We can reinforce those faith links that connect our anchor to our lives in the storms that we face. So, who are you going to catch up with this week via the phone? Anybody in particular? Choose one person to phone this week. Good. Well, I'm sure they'll really appreciate you doing that. And yeah, that'll be great. And don't forget, very shortly we're going to have our Zoom morning tea, so please get ready for that. 10:30, Zoom in for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. That's really great, or an hour you can stay for. So go in peace to serve the Lord in whatever way you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.